gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. You're about to listen to Prophet Livingstone Olualola as he brings you the message of the gospel from the presence of God.
Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 2. Warfare intelligence. One of the greatest advantages of the enemy against the believer is ignorance. One of the greatest advantages of the devil against the believer is ignorance. And so when the Lord preps us for spiritual warfare, he preps us with the armor of light. Hallelujah. He preps us with what? The armor of light. Let us quickly see Romans chapter 16 before we look at that. Isaiah 40, Romans chapter 16. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, beg your pardon. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Romans chapter 13, verse 12.
God, who sits upon the throne. I am the Lamb of God, who sits as King forever.
Romans chapter 13, verse 2. Are we there? Chapter 13, verse 12. Beg your pardon, verse 12. The night is fast spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Somebody say armor of light. Again? Yes. There are different kind of armors that the scripture spoke about in the Bible. One of the armors is the armor of light. There is another one that the Bible calls the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 gives us insight. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 downwards gives us insight into the armor of God. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. So, but many people only know about the armor of God, but they are not familiar with the armor of light. Amen? Yes. Actually, the armor of God is the armor of light. But there is a flow of understanding and revelation that is going to flood our hearts and our spirit when we are aware of the words the Bible used to describe what. So the Bible calls it armor of light. The Bible says put on the armor of light. From verse 13 it says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in tampering and wantonness, not in strife, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the armor of light is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this okay? Verse 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, put on the armor of light. Verse 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So that means that the Lord Jesus Christ is the armor of light. Amen. What is the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. That's not what I want to say. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is what? Is the truth. So the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14 and verse 6. So Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life. Now, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ means putting on the truth. Be clothed with truth, be guarded with truth, be armored by truth. So it means the Lord prepares us for spiritual warfare by clothing us with the shield of truth, the garments of truth, because the armor of light is the armor of truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this okay? Amen. So when we see somebody that the enemy is molesting, the enemy is able to molest somebody who is born again simply because the person does not know the truth. Amen. So look at this. You can have Jesus on your inside, but you are not clothed on the outside. So Jesus can be in you, but it's not on you as the armor of light. So let's say that again. Jesus can be in you, but he's not on you as the armor of light. The Bible says, put ye on the armor. Put ye on the armor. So it means it's your responsibility to put on the armor. Hallelujah. You know, there's a particular scripture where the Bible says that we should respond to God in a certain way so that we are not found naked. Let me show you that scripture. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But that's not even the one I want to quote. Beg your pardon. Let me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm having a diversion, but I like the diversion because it's going to help us to understand better what the Spirit of the Lord wants to communicate to us. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Please let us open there. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. If you are there, say I'm there. One, two, go. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and deceive him. Know what I mean? Someone can be a believer but is walking naked. Is this okay? That's what I'm trying to use scripture to establish the thought I just said with you, that you can have Christ in you, but you're not putting on the armor of Christ. The Lord just can be on your inside, but you're not clothed with Him. You're not clothed with Him. You're not clothed with Him. Right? There is a being clothed with the Lord is being clothed with His truth. It is learning His truth, walking in His truth, being aware of His truth, living by His truth consciously. Amen. Amen. So I said again that the greatest advantage of the enemy against believer is their ignorance. The one that is not saved has no resistance whatsoever to the devil. The one that is not saved is already a prey of darkness. The enemy already has the full advantage over one that is not born again, because he is not born again and is under the yoke of darkness. But the Bible says, for us who have been born again, because our sins have been forgiven and we have been redeemed, we therefore have been transformed, right? We have been transformed and we are new creations. And aside that, we have been transited, right, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the dear Son of Jesus Christ, the dear Son of God, Jesus Christ. You have been transported from being under the yoke of the enemy into the kingdom of God, where Jesus is our new master. So the enemy no longer rules us. The enemy no longer reigns over us because we are born again. Amen. But let me tell you this. Someone can be born again and the enemy still rules over them. But the advantage the enemy has is ignorance. Is this clear? This is the reason for which Paul said, we are not ignorant. Who knows that scripture? Nobody does. Does anybody know that scripture? We are not ignorant of what? Good. We are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So this means, when we are ignorant of the devices of the enemy will take advantage of us. Amen. So the intention of this teaching tonight is to the end that we are going to gain knowledge that can help us to consistently win in spiritual warfare. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 verse 2. What is the ground for spiritual attack? Isaiah chapter 40 verse 2. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 2. If you are there, say I'm there. The Bible says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that our warfare is accomplished, that our iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hands double for all her sins. Our warfare is accomplished because our iniquity is pardoned. In other words, speak to Jerusalem, our warfare has come to an end because our sin has been forgiven. So what's the ground of spiritual attack? Sin. Iniquity. The ground of spiritual attack is iniquity. Somebody quickly help me open to Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 4. Yes. Oh, 53. Beg your pardon. It's about the scripture I'm looking for. And that's about 3 from verse 53 from verse 4. He had borne our grief and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Amen. Amen. He was wounded for our... Can you respond to me? He was bruised for our... So that means there are two major issues Jesus was wounded and bruised for. Transgression and iniquity. I think I've explained here before, maybe 2 years ago, the difference between transgression and iniquity. Amen. Transgression is the act of sin. Iniquity is the thought of sin. Should I say that again? Transgression is the act of sin. Because transgression is rebellion against the law. Rebellion against the commandments of God. That's transgression. So we say somebody has transgressed because somebody sinned against a laid down order. So transgression is sin acted upon. Iniquity is of the act. Oh, Lucifer, thou art fallen the day that iniquity was found in thee. Indeed. So Lucifer fell because iniquity was found in him. So the falling of Lucifer did not begin when he gathered the other angels and said, you know what? Let us scatter heaven. Amen. I'm just kidding. That was not what he said, but now, the scripture is telling that he fell in the day that iniquity was found in him. Jesus was wounded for transgression. So, Jesus paid for your obvious sins and for your inner sins that only you know about. Jesus came and Jesus said, it has been said that if you commit adultery, you are wrong. But I say to you, if you look at a woman lustfully, you have sinned. So looking at a woman lustfully is not transgression. It is iniquity. Falling into adultery is transgression. Looking at a woman lustfully is what? Iniquity. So iniquity is inside, like the word ini. It is inside there. Ini. It is inside there. Ini. Thank you. Iniquity. It is iniquity. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the ground of spiritual warfare is sin. And according to this scripture, the Bible says your spiritual warfare has ended. In other words, spiritual attack has come to an end because I've forgiven you. Is this okay? Is this okay? So let me help you. One of the ways to consistently stay afloat over spiritual attack is to walk in holiness. So I said, the foundation of spiritual attack is sin. The foundation of our victory in spiritual attack is our righteousness purchased by the blood. What is the ground of victory in spiritual attack? Righteousness purchased by the blood. Why should you win in spiritual attack? What's your strength against the enemy in spiritual attack? Righteousness purchased by the blood. What's your advantage in spiritual attack? Righteousness purchased by the blood. My advantage is that I can pray. You can pray because you have access to God, having been reconciled by the blood that was shed. So it's on the account of the fact, do you know how many spiritual warfare that came against you that you are not even aware of? Amen. Let me tell you the truth. There are more spiritual attacks against our life than we are aware of. So even though you say, I've been going through attack, so much attack, let me give you good news. The ones you are not aware of are more than the ones you cause so much that God is taking care of and taking care of. He didn't allow you to come so close that you become conscious of it. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. So what's the ground of our victory in spiritual warfare? Righteousness purchased by the blood. That's our victory. That's our victory. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even what? Our faith. We have faith because the blood was shed. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet the life that I live is not mine, but Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. The life that I live by faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. So this means that I have the faith of the Son of God because I've been crucified with him on the cross, the same place where the blood was shed. Is this clear? There are three phases of spiritual warfare I want to talk about. There are four actually, but I'll just capitalize on three. There are four phases of spiritual warfare I want to talk about. One, personal warfare. Two, internal warfare. Three, external warfare. And four, territorial warfare. Personal warfare, internal warfare, external warfare, territorial warfare. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Let's talk about internal warfare first. Internal warfare are the battles that you fight that only you are aware of. You and God, and the one that is fighting against you. Amen. Hallelujah. The battle arena of internal warfare is the moment of temptation. Should I say that again? The battle arena of internal warfare is the moment of temptation. Many people don't see temptation as warfare. Your greatest warfare is temptation. Once you can overcome that, you'll overcome the enemy that comes against you in other ways. Your greatest warfare is temptation. And look at this. The enemy used people against Jesus, but none of them could conquer Jesus because Jesus has already conquered the tempter. So this is it. You will easily conquer the enemy as the adversary when you have conquered him as the tempter. Should I say that again? You will easily conquer the enemy as the adversary when you have conquered him as the tempter. So in internal warfare, you need to know the devil. You need to have the knowledge of the devil as the tempter. Amen. There are two sources of temptation. One, ungodly desires that flow from the unrenewed mind. And two, a demonic spirit whispering to our ears. That demonic spirit is what the Bible called the tempter. That tempter is the person that came to Jesus in the wilderness in the book of Matthew chapter 4. Is this okay? So Matthew chapter 4, right, chronicles for us the temptations of Jesus. So you say it's three temptations of Jesus. The temptations were more than three, actually, if you study your scripture correctly. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible recorded the three temptations after the 40. Should I say that again? The Bible recorded the three temptations after what? Day 40. After the 40th day of the fast. The enemy came to him because he has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and because he was hungry. So it means that the beginning of the record of the temptation started when Jesus was done with his 40 days. But the Bible says, and the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So it means that all three stay in the wilderness. He was being tempted, but the Bible did not record the kinds and manner of temptations that Jesus went through. But it's recorded the three that it wants us to know, because the three captures the major flow of corruption in this world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That is the three flow of the temptations of Jesus. Am I too fast? You guys are looking at me as if you are hungry. I don't even know if you are here. Are you here? Or will you just sing chorus and go home? I can do that. I love choruses. Amen. Are we together? Are you hungry? Okay. I would have asked them to bring the donut that I reserved, but sir, you're hungry for the word. Amen. But am I too fast? A bit too fast. Okay. Ma? I'm somehow fast. Okay. Let me use the break for that a little. Amen. So I said, there are two grounds of temptation. One, our ungodly desires. James chapter 1. Right? The Bible says, let no man say that I am tempted of God when he is tempted. Because everyone is tempted by his own desires. And when desire grows up, it gives birth to sin. When sin grows up, it gives birth to death. James chapter 1, let me give you the verse so that you can write it down. Oh, glory to God. What verse? Verse 13, thank you. James chapter 1, verse 13. So you can write that down. Somebody help me read it. Anybody? James 1, 13. Yes? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted evil, neither tempt he no man. Yes? That's all. Go ahead. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And that's, I think another says desires. When he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then the Bible says, when his desire grows up, it gives birth to sin. And when sin grows up, sin gives birth to death. Is this clear? This scripture shows us one of the sources of temptation. But did he mention devil? No. Did he say, let anybody say when he's tempted that it's not God that's tempting me? I know he's the devil. Sometimes the devil is not even around you. Stop giving him the glory that does not belong to him. And the Papa is the devil. And then if you give the devil chance to explain himself, say, sir, at that moment, I was in Afghanistan. I was not able anywhere around just when the situation happened. So I wasn't even there. Amen. Because the devil is not always with us. Should I say that again? The devil is not always. The Bible says the enemy left Jesus for a while. It's not that he used to leave. He used to come and go. He's busy. He's going about looking for us. Amen. The devil is always on the move. He's a restless spirit. He can't stay with you. You will burn him. Amen. So he can't come and stay with you. No. He's a restless spirit. The Bible says in Job chapter 1, when the sons of God gathered, the devil too showed up. God says, you that are doing to and fro, up and down. So so what are you doing here now again? The devil does not have a resting place. He has no abiding place. Are you following me? He's always on the move. But he has headquarters. Yes. I just needed to say that. He has what? Headquarters. Should I show you from scripture? The book of Revelation.
Elagabaya Mongredile Hekosiata. Jesus spoke about it in the letter to one of the churches. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. I want us to see it in different translations. Revelation 2, 13. The Bible says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. I know your works and where you dwell. You dwell in a place where Satan's seat is. He was writing to the church in Pergamos. Can I have that line, another translation? Revelation 2:13. Is anybody helping me so that I don't know if I'm counting on you or not? Is anybody helping me to check? Okay, go ahead. I know where you live. there where Satan, there where Satan has his throne.
Amen.
Is this okay? So this means the throne of Satan is not in the spirit. It's in a physical territory, but it's not just. Amen. Is this clear? This is scripture we are reading now. Mercy translation, thank you.
I see where you live.
Right under the shadow of Satan's throne. So Satan has headquarters. 3 years ago, I think this was 3 years ago, the Lord told me that Satan has moved to Afghanistan. Yes, he used to relocate. Yes, he used to relocate. So that at that time, I think this was 3 years ago, this was the period where Afghanistan, do you remember? I said it now in one of those prayers, right? The Lord began to show me in the spirit that's the center point of Satan's activity at that season. Hallelujah. So Satan has headquarters, and the headquarters is not is where his throne is a physical location. Amen. Thank you for the diversion. Let's go back to our sermon. So you have seen from James chapter 1 verse 13 to 14 that the Bible says temptation comes by ungodly desires. What is the root of ungodly desires? Can anybody tell me? Unrenewed mind. That's the root of ungodly desire. So that means your ungodly desires will begin to reduce and temptations begin to reduce as you renew your mind. Is this clear? Are there points in your life where things that were tempting yesterday were not tempting you today again, or are not tempting you today? Are there things like that? Things that were temptations like, yesterday if I pass by somebody's pot and there is chicken there, if you do like to open the pot, and today you pass by the chicken, the chicken was smelling, but you can't even think that there is no connection anymore. Is this okay? It means that the mind has absorbed light, and that ground of darkness has been healed. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be thou not conformed to this world, but be thou transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it means the way not to be conformed to the world. What does it mean to be conformed to the world? The Bible spoke about the lust of the world, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. So to be conformed to the world means to live by the dictates of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Now, to not be conformed is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we know that we are being transformed when the things that caused our attention for temptation yesterday is not calling our attention again today. We are outgrowing it. Hallelujah. Amen. Good. Now, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Yeah. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Thank you so much. You can see that. So, we see the second flow of temptation here. The second flow of temptation is the devil. So, this one is not the unrenewed mind. It's that the devil is speaking from outside. Hallelujah. Now, I said, to understand internal warfare, as I'm explaining, is to have a measure of revelation of the enemy as a tempter. Is this clear? And the enemy as a tempter is revealed in his nature as the serpent. Is this okay? The enemy as a tempter is revealed in his nature as what? As the serpent. What's the work of the serpent? The work of the serpent, thank you, is deception. He is a crafty being. He is a master craft. Hallelujah. He is a master craft. Today, as I saw the scripture earlier today, that place where the Bible says, we are not ignorant of the devices. D-E-V-I-C-S. The word devices there is the word crafting. We are not ignorant of the crafting. So it means The enemy will craft situations to bring out your anger to make you lose a season. Is it okay? The enemy will craft a situation to make you not talk to your wife for 2 days. But the expectation of God concerning the marriage will not stand. He is a master craftsman. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he crafts situation, crafts circumstances. So that darkness cannot entrance into the person's heart and there can be ground for iniquity. Remember, the Bible says, your warfare is finished because your iniquity has been pardoned. Good. So, and I said, the ground for spiritual attack is iniquity. So as long as you don't allow iniquity, spiritual attack has no ground and hold against you. Amen. The Lord is good. Be careful in all seasons, but be more careful in pregnant seasons. It's not every season of your life that has the same weight. Certain seasons are more weighty than certain seasons. And your action in certain seasons, they speak more in the spirit than other seasons. But if you are not careful, hallelujah, the Lord is good. All the time, like I said, really, the enemy can craft situations to make somebody sleep into darkness. And once the person sleeps into darkness, you know what the person has just done? The person just did what the Bible said we should not do in Ephesians 4:27. Give no place to the devil. Do you know the scripture that precedes that? Don't be angry. That's why I use that scenario. It says, don't be, can we open to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, from verse 26? It says, don't be angry. Let the sun not go down your anger. Then the next verse, give no place to the devil. Ephesians chapter 4, let's read from verse 25. Somebody help me, please. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man's truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Hallelujah. So the Bible began by saying, don't tell lies, because telling lies gives place to the devil. Is this clear? Then he says, a moment of anger, because what's anger? Anger is agitated emotion. Should I say that again? Should I say that again? Anger is agitated emotion of displeasure. That's what anger is. So you are angry because anger is an emotional stuff. Man. You don't know. It is what it is. Anger is body chemistry. So it means you can choose not to be an angry person. I say, me, I'm an angry person. No. Normally, I don't need to get angry. Small things like this that gets me angry. You can do major stuff, but small things like this. You can even forget my body, I will not be angry. But small things like this, like pressing toothpaste in the middle, instead of from the bum. Those are the kind of things that bring us the anger in certain persons. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. All the time. The Bible says, don't give place. You know what I found out? If you remove the works of the flesh from your life, a major place of spiritual warfare is gone. A major ground for spiritual warfare is already gone. Once we remove works of the flesh from the situation. Because if you keep reading downwards, the next verse, which is verse 28, let him that steal no more. But let him go and work so that he can have what to give to others. Please read verse 29 for me. Let look again, you know, verse 25 I spoke about lying. Again, it's speaking about how you use your mouth again. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that it is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Please go ahead. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of perfection, redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Amen. Do you know what the scripture tells us? Works of the flesh gives place to the devil. To give place to the devil is to give the enemy an advantage against you in spiritual warfare. Is this clear?
Yes.
So works of the flesh is leverage that you are giving to the enemy to attack you in spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Amen. Balaam could not curse Israel. Balaam could not curse Israel. Do we know why? Sister Tina said they were in perfect alignment and perfect array.
Yes.
There was no sin. How do you know? That's what the Bible says. Numbers 23. God has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Let's read it. That is the only reason, only primary reason why Balaam could not curse them. God has not beheld iniquity in Jacob.
Numbers chapter 23 from verse 21.
Let me start from verse 20. Thank you. I read from here. From verse 20. Please, everybody open there. You know what we are dealing with? Intelligence for spiritual warfare. Numbers 23 from verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Verse 21. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him. The south of a king is amongst them. God brought them out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Verse 23 together. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? So there is no, you know what enchantment means, right? No jazz, no juju, no witchcraft incantation, no demonic spell, no Arabic chant, no dark energy, no voodoo power, no sorcery, no divination can attack Israel, because God has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen any perverseness in Israel. Now the Bible says, oh Matila Hassel, because of that posture, the shout of a king is in the midst of death. So the shout of a king is nothing. Let's give a shout to the Lord. If the Lord found iniquity in the shout, that's not the shout of a king. That's a noisy shout of confusion. Is this clear? So these people, do you know that they were not aware that they were being attacked? Amen. Israel was not aware that they have raised the first altar to curse them, and the second altar to curse them, and yet the third altar, they're just doing their life. Holiness is your field. Holiness is your field. Holiness is your field. Purity is your preservation. Purity is your preservation. Israel was not even aware. So it means they can gather in witchcraft coven and be calling living stones. They've done it several times. At certain times I've seen it in visions. And be calling living stones. And be calling living stones to do jazz, to speak. And me, I'm sleeping like a baby. Amen. Because the ground of our victory is righteousness purchased by the blood. This is not just righteousness by identity, it's righteousness by life.
So someone has righteousness by identity, but the Bible says,
he that doeth righteous, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. 1 John chapter 3.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous. So this is righteousness by life,
but the root is, it is purchased by the blood. Amen. Amen. So let me tell you this. You have nothing to fear when your hands are clean.
Can I say that again? You have nothing to fear. They taken my name. They said they took my name to a demonic altar. Not even by market, so. Nothing can tell me. Amen. Not even by market. Not even by zone.
You have nothing to be afraid of when your hands are clean and your heart is right before the Lord. Because he has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. No dad, no spare, no dark energy, no negative energy can attack him. Hallelujah. So do you know what Balaam did? This is a very long message, but the Lord will help us. Whatever we end today, we end by the Spirit. So Balaam said to Balak, you know what? These guys are protected. Angels are surrounding them. There's nothing you can do. But I'll give you an idea. Send your babes, the five fine ones, into their camp. If you can cause them to commit fornication with you. Because the covenant that protects them says they should not intermarry with the children of the uncircumcised. So if you can get your fine babes to lure their men to sleep with them, and you can get your men through the house, ego, you know, ego, to step into their corridor with flashy cars. Amen. Flashy cars and flashy money. And you can get their girls. Their God will depart from them. They will be easy prey. They will be easy prey. And that's what happened. That's what happened. Moab messed Israel up. Because Israel failed. So, the Bible says, he that breaks the edge. So it means our preservation is automatic by God, but it's not automatic. There is a part we have to play for our preservation. Amen. But are you aware that it was the Israelite that killed Balaam? Yes. The Israelite killed him. They killed him with the sword. Someone that used to be a prophet of God, but came into alliance with the enemy. Amen. This, you know, we are talking spiritual intelligence. Good. What we just said here is a principle that seems ancient, but it's still relevant. So, in the realm of the kingdom of darkness, if they also get somebody, right, it's the same principle. That guy is holy, you can't touch him. Angels are active around him. But for us to be able to touch him, let's just get him to sin against his God. Is this okay? Yes. Because one of the things that sin does is sin reduces the intensity of angelic operation. The Bible says in Psalm 37, the angel of the Lord encamp around the righteous. Let me read it. Psalm 37. Psalm 37:7. The angel of the Lord encamp around the righteous. Hallelujah. And delivereth them. So it means there is a hallelujah. They are consistently shooting darts at us. Our angels are just doing like this. Bow, 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 bow. So did we not talk? We don't even know. We are not aware what the angels are doing. Right, it's in the full intensity of their operation. They are just busy delivering us. But there is a poster we have to be. That's the angel of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. And who are those that fear God? They are the key parts of His word. You can't say you fear God and you don't keep His commandments. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. So let me help you. The works of the flesh is your enemy. Anger is your enemy. Backbiting is your enemy. Offense is your enemy. Malice, bitterness is your enemy. Cheating others so that you can increase in profit is your enemy. And to do it to rise, is to give the enemy to attack areas of your life that you may not even be aware of that's already under attack. I was not caught now. See me now. I have 2 cars. If I didn't do it, I would have. God is blessing me. With God. Hallelujah. You know, one thing I became aware of is that the enemy is not threatened by your riches. It's threatened by your holiness. Money does not threaten the enemy because he also gives it. But the devil is threatened by your purity. He's threatened by your holiness. He's threatened by your righteous life and your righteous decision. He's threatened by your consecration. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? But every time you find yourself in the moment of temptation, should I lash this guy? My trash him, my lash him. Let me use my tongue to lash him. Or I should just watch. Just know that it is beyond you and the guy. You get what I'm trying to say? Like I said, moments of temptation are battle arenas. So it's beyond you and the guy. Demons are waiting on you to make the mistake. They are waiting on you to fall into the flesh. And so someone says, you know, there's many times believers being deceived. They think that falling into the flesh is, there's no big deal about falling into the flesh. I can easily come back into the spirit just by saying, Father, I'm sorry, Father, I'm sorry, Father, I'm sorry. In the name of Jesus, I cleanse myself by the blood of Jesus. Amen. See, tomorrow, sin still has consequence. Till tomorrow. Sin still has what? Consequence. Till tomorrow. Have you ever read the Bible in Colossians 3? The Bible says, whatever a man sows, he shall reap. He didn't end there. And I said, God does not show favoritism. So God is not a respecter of persons. Whatsoever a man sows, believer or unbeliever, whatever a man sows, he shall reap. For instance now, somebody cannot be going against the instructions of God. As I am like this, my marriage does work. God made a covenant with me. And you are not following the instructions of God to live at peace in your marriage. The person may end up losing his own marriage. Is this okay? And that now comes as one of the consequences of sinning against the instructions of God that's supposed to preserve our marriages. The Lord is our strength. In Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. To whom ye forgive anything, I also forgive. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgive I it, in the person of Christ. Verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. But that's why I started, right? That the greatest advantage of the enemy is ignorance. He says, we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan, lest he gets advantage of us. So it means, when we are ignorant of his devices, he gets advantage of us. And I just showed you one of the devices of the enemy, which is that the enemy pushes people into the works of the flesh to the end that he can attack them. And those that are not wise, those are ignorant of these devices, they will fall into it. And one of the devices that Paul spoke about here is unforgiveness. So Paul revealed that the enemy has a way of crafting situations for people to offend you and you not to forgive them, so that in not forgiving them, the enemy has an advantage against you. Is this okay? What people lose by unforgiveness is not just a relationship. They lose many more things outside of a relationship. Because if you're like, let the relationship go. Let him go. I don't care. We don't want an issue with that. But as long as there is unforgiveness in your heart, you'll be losing more things gradually. Because
unforgiveness is of the devil.
You know, someone says sin is Satan's identification number. S-I-M.
Satan identification number. So it means sin is the devil's attractive point. Sin attracts the enemy and say, there is a prayer here, oh. Abba. Any demon dead there will not get job. I don't have to find market, oh. There's a prayer here.
You know what Jesus said? The God of this world has come to me, but he has nothing of ease. He found nothing of ease in me. Nothing of ease in me. Nothing of ease in me. So this means that once and again the enemy comes to church. How fast he don't fall. This girl never falls now. Wow. Oh, try again. This girl, why she just had to break like this? May we remain hard to break. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. May we remain hard to break for the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now let me teach you the reverse part to that. The reverse part to that is that if you ever find yourself in a fault, immediately return and say, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the enemy, you have no legal ground against me. Because the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, hey, I've been wiped out. Every handwriting of requirement which stands against me, he took it away, having nailed it to the cross, having spoiled principalities and power. He made a public spectacle of them, shouting over them in it. Is this okay? So I just showed you that sin gives the enemy a foothold. But I'm also showing you that if you ever find yourself in a fault, immediately return, are you following me? And get the word of God in your spirit and speak the word that gives the enemy...
Instead of repenting, the person keeps on solving and pushing aside every witness of the spirit that is saying, why don't you talk to somebody about this so that you can be restored? Amen. Let me tell you, fallen souls need restoration. Should I say that again? Fallen souls need what? Thou restoreth my soul. I was listening to a message today or a clip today, and the person said, Nobody mistakenly falls into fornication. You cannot find a serious Christian that mistakenly falls into fornication. It's not possible in this life. You get what I'm saying? Also, nobody suddenly fornicates. Nobody suddenly falls into fornication. The journey into fornication has started months ago, sometimes years ago. The person has been falling, small falling, undiscerning falling. Is it, you get what I'm saying? Small falling, like from reading the Bible every day to reading it twice a week. Amen? So reading it once in 2 weeks. I said, are you still strong with God? Yes, sir. At that meeting, four blind persons saw. Amen. The person has been falling from strong prayer life to weak prayer life. Of course, one thing I found out that when you stop reading the Bible, you stop praying. Quicken us and we'll call upon your name. When you stop being quickened by the word, the energy to pray drops. Should I say that again? When we stop being quickened by the word, the energy to pray drops. Quicken us, and we will call upon your name. So the guy stopped reading the Bible, then the guy stopped
The guy has not been praying as he used to pray, you know, from 1 hour every day. So when he just woke up now, man, thank you, Father. My day is blessed. Glory, glory. So now that's what he does every morning. Man, glory, glory, glory. My day is blessed. My day is blessed. So we don't fast on the gates that prosper. I win, I rule, I dominate. If not so easy, everybody could not dominate for this life. Everybody could not dominate for this life. Hallelujah. So the person has stopped praying. The person has stopped praying. Then the person suddenly, if the person watches movie and sees obscene scenes, usually the person for the but now he's saying, actually when I saw the movie, they wrote adult rated. And I'm an adult. And I'm an adult. I can handle it. There are certain things that children can handle for adults. Is it okay? Things like exposed breast in movie. You know, when children watch it, somehow you can Roger and Fiona saying, you can affect their mental build up, you know. For me, I'm an adult, I can see exposed breasts, I can even watch nude, you know. These people, they're not wearing anything now. Wow, all these actresses and actors. Will they make heaven like this? Hey, Jesus. Let's ask a gospel man, say, be fast now, let's go to the next stupid boy that is supposed to follow the that is supposed to follow the nonsense. He's saying they should be fast. No, keep at it. He says, Savani, you already fell into the trap of those who wrote the sin. Yeah. You already fell into the trap of those who wrote the movie. Because every movie is a projection. If every movie is a projection, and the intention of the projection is the act of man. So they are either projecting righteousness to you, or projecting sin, or projecting violence, whatever. Projecting values, whatever. Every movie is a projection. Hallelujah. And then the guy notices that this particular movie, he has only watched 30 minutes. And in 30 minutes, he has seen like 5 different scenes of naked people. And he said, I want to see the end of this movie. Amen. That desire to see the end of this movie is the luring of the devil. The devil is pulling him. And you know what the enemy is doing? The enemy is not being his resistance to sin. It's not being his resistance to righteousness, to ungodliness. It's not being it. There's no big deal. It's adult rated movie. It's 18 plus. You know, 18 plus. And I am 20 something. I'm 27. I can handle it. I'm giving you the journey of falling into fornication. Hallelujah. So the brother that normally he doesn't play around with ladies, now he's calling a sister he's not intending to marry 2 a.m. I said, hello, Sister Clara. I just thought to check on you. I just thought to check on you. How have you been? And then Sister Clara too. Device of this of the enemy. Nothing about device. We are not talking of the devices. Device means arranged, perfectly arranged. So the enemy has arranged Sister Clara. Somebody says Sister Clara. For this, the enemy knows the kind of person he likes. So the enemy has brought a ring, powerfully empowered by the enemy for his falling. You know, and then even if Sister Clara did not call, if he did not call Sister Clara will call him and say, how are you, Brother Timothy? Brother Timothy, how are you today? Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And then Sister Clara will be, I saw this movie on Netflix, another pornography inclined movie. So I just thought we should watch it together. Eco Party Lavadash. Man, Debrales. Should I come over to your side or you will come over to my. Should I come over or you will come over? Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh
just thought we should do dinner night with the movie. I'll call you some popcorns and video meat. Ateko paratiga. No, I have not, and I will not in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ah, Lord Jesus. Device. It's a crafted. The brother Timothy.
Because I actually just woke up from a dreading dream.
Yes.
And this call is so tiny. You will not be feeling like
one. You will not be like the Lord
calling project.
The Lord led me to call her. I'm so happy. Sister Clara, I'm so blessed by this call. The Bible says, how are the mighty falling? Tell it not in God. Publish it not in Ashkelon. How are the mighty falling? Nobody mistaking it for us. It's a journey. It begins with the spirit becoming cold. We should have a thermometer that can tell the state of our spirit. Just as something you can administer to yourself. I say, Kai, I'm not there right, though. I am not okay. Go and meet your oversight. Go and meet your friend. I say, guys, I'm not okay. They say, did you fall? I say, Kai, I'm falling. Say, what happened? I've not prayed for a week now. I've not prayed in tongues. Is this okay? And the guy knows that this is not me. It's dangerous to be cold. Hallelujah. Now, you know, one of the strongest points I forgot to mention is that Brother Timothy will suddenly find reasons not to be committed to church again. He will begin to stream online. Because what we can get your men off your get, if you enter from somebody can just you can just walk by a prophetic line and somebody says, I smell something. What brother Timothy passed on me, brother Timothy, what am I smelling? Alpha. You got anything to say? Yeah, so simple, you can just jack it back like I said, true. What did they worry me, sir? You can't then say, like, Brother Timothy, how are you? What's going on? What's in off with you? When you pass by me, I saw something I really don't like. Oh, I said, I'm okay. Oh, I'm really fine. In fact, I had a prayer meeting yesterday with Sister Clara. You won't believe it. We pray for 2 hours straight. Amen. Do you know which is praying tongues? Real life legit, which is praying tongue. But of course, it's fake tongue. It's not inspired by the Holy Spirit. So it means we should not be deceived by performances and the seeing of the eyes and say, Kai, the way I knew that you're my wife was when we were praying. You see those tongues? Katom bebe kiki gagaga. You know, Kati. The way your tongues were sounding, I knew I found her. I knew I found, you know, as you were praying, my body was rising. Hey, brother. Yes, sir. Ila perute ga. Glory to God. The Lord is good. All the time. You see, I think I will just start this internal warfare for today. I pray that God will give you grace to be able to catch yourself when you are falling. In the name of Jesus. That by yourself, you can do self-analysis and say, before I deceive you, so now I know who they say anything again. Before I pray, now I know the, what today? I'm sick. I need help.
I am praying that the Lord will give us an ability by the Spirit to be able to tell when we are no longer where we used to be with the Lord, and to be able to take steps of restoration in the name of Jesus. So the church in Ephesus, you guys are great. It's just that you need to return to your first love. You need to return. You are great, amazing stuff, miracles. I mean, the church in Ephesus is one of the most mature church. One of the most mature church. I mean, look at the revelations of Ephesus now. Powerful revelations in the epistle to the church in Ephesus. Powerful revelations. Powerful revelations. The things that Paul could not talk to the Corinthians about, he revealed it in his epistle to the Ephesians. It was powerful. But when the Lord read a letter to them through Apostle John, he said, remember the height from when you are falling. After you celebrated them, I know your good works, you are doing amazing, but remember the height from when you are falling. Father and Ma, sometimes revivalists need revival. Burning torches need new fire. Soul winners need their souls restored. And it begins with the heart. What are the things you are permitting inside now that you don't permit before? What are the things we permit? You know, things that normally, certain thoughts before you go, don't check them out. Certain thoughts of rebellion. Immediately you have, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be rebellious against the authority over me. I refuse to think like that. I refuse to think. I say, is it a lie? The Spirit will say, is it a lie? Am I lying? Why are you not accepting the truth? Ah, Satala Bakaya. And another thing I want to say, you know, one time I was talking to my man of God, and my man of God said to me that people who leave ministry, it begins with the thought of the heart. This God that you have been serving for so long, what do you have to show for it? Look at you. If you are in business, let you and I talk. Imagine a demon telling you, let's talk. But you are not aware of the demon. So it feels like you talking to him, let's talk. If you are in business now, is this where you will be? Is this the level you will be if you are in business? You have strong business acumen when you were in school. The small things you were selling, can't you see the great things that happened? Now you now left. Now look at your life. So you are serving God. How are you even sure God sent you? Did God really say you should be in ministry? Remember what he said to Eve. Did God really say? The enemy will not say God did not say. He actually says that. Because he's a mastercraft. He's a mastercraftsman, right? So the concept will be like, did God really say? So he will give you reasons to second guess what you have heard. Yes. He will give you reasons to doubt what you have for long believed in. It will give you reasons to think that, what if you are wrong in your discernment? Did God really say you should not eat of any of the trees of the garden? Amen. You know, recently I was meditating and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, he said, reduce your warfare by reducing what you expose. Reduce your warfare by reducing what you expose. Is this okay? The enemy attacks us by the information he has. So reduce your warfare by reducing the information that you give. In other words, there are certain prophecies God will reveal to you about your family now.
But you will be wrong to immediately leave here and call them and tell them. Is this okay? The Bible says Mary kept the things in her heart. So if Mary read the Bible and said, Tabitha, guess what? I saw this angel. He was looking all blue. His eyes were golden. He has a purple sash. Around there like this. Okay, what is the angel? The angel said, the angel said, we'll get better. Sometimes these angels, I don't understand. The angel said, we'll get better. Now, wow. But you and Alpha, you and Joe, you know me now. My parents don't go wrong. My father will just kill me if I try. So how you will come get better? I never know. But move the sister. And then Tabitha announced the matter to the market square. Amen. And certain women in the market square that knows how to hear the things they were not told. And know how to hear things that were not directed to them. Then I say, we heard that the daughter of this so-and-so, an angel appeared to us. It means we have been fighting the wrong person. This is the person we are supposed to direct the warfare to. Suddenly they find out that their warfare has a new direction. But this is the person we should be fighting. That child must not be born. Mary kept them in her heart. Be careful what you expose. This is not a word to set fear. It's a word to set discernment. It's a word to set discernment. And I wrote to myself, I said there are certain things that when you expose them, you kill them. And there are certain things that by exposing is how you establish them. Because exposing is a declaration of faith. But if you declare, you know, exposing is revealing seed. There are certain seeds that cannot survive certain atmospheric conditions. They will die. The scorching sun will kill them. Hope you know there are certain tender plants that must not see sunlight. They will die. They plant them indoors. They need only very little, very, very little ray of the sun. If you plant them outside in the sun, these seeds will die. Yes, the daylight will kill them. These seeds will die. Amen. Hallelujah. So look at this. You attract more warfare to yourself by exposing the prophecies that should not be declared publicly. You attract more warfare to yourself by exposing the dream. Look at Joseph now. Joseph was innocent. He told his brothers his dream and led to a major attack that almost killed them. But for the mercy of God. I had a dream. I saw you bowing to me. Do you think after telling us that we'll bow to you, we will like you? But the guy was so innocent at heart. He was naive. He felt like, that's what I said. Maybe he was thinking all of them would rejoice with him and say, hey, Jojo. They that already, they didn't like him because he was his father's favorite child. Then he answered, all of us will bow to you. Even when he said the name of his father said, does that mean I, your mother, everybody will bow to you? Amen. Amen. Now look at this. Paul said to Timothy, with this prophecy that has got ahead of you, wage your good warfare. It means prophecies can either increase your warfare or help you win the warfare. Prophecy in prayer will make you win the warfare. Prophecy that is undiscerningly exposed. Spiritual revelation and information that is undiscerningly exposed will increase your warfare. Remember that the life of Jesus became threatened when the men went to Herod and said, we saw a star. A king has been born in your province. Oh king, are you not aware? Didn't your sages tell you? And a king has been born in your province. And the king said, what manner of child is it? Can you tell me where this star appeared last? I would like to visit that king and pay homage to him. And so we can't really tell, but we are told we'll see the star again and it's going to lead us there. Maybe when we find the star, we're going to return with the word and tell you, okay. And the Bible says, as those men left there, God warned them not to return to the king to tell him the whereabouts of the child. And then the king, having been armed with information, are you following me? The king, having been armed with information, he ordered the massacre of every child below the age of two. Of every child below the age of two. Because there's no way we'll kill every child below the age of two and we'll not get this child. Owing to the time that the star first appeared to them. Amen. Hallelujah. So it means these people, because the journey from where they were to Israel is a far distance. Are you following me? So could it be that since the time that the angel had prophesied to Mary, the star had appeared? Yes. There is a man sent from God whose name is John. Amen. Good. So since the time the prophecy came, the seed of the word entered into Mary to inseminate her, and the baby Jesus began to form. And since that time, his essence is in the skies. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. But you see, that essence was preserved by Mary's understanding of secrecy. Let me tell you what, man. Be careful what you see about people that you tell them prematurely. You can ruin their life. You can ruin their life. There are certain things that people, there are certain information about people's destiny. I called one of my daughters recently and I said to her, have I ever told you this? She said, no. I said, yeah, God spoke to me about this 3 years ago. But I knew you could not handle the information then, so I thought to send you now. We must know how to discern what people can, and we can ruin people's life by prophetic sight, because God gave you the word to tend it in your spirit for a while until the seed is matured enough to be declared and revealed. We must learn how to separate prophecy from excitement. Amen. Ilaha Sophia. Follow me carefully. We must learn how to separate what prophecy from excitement. The Bible says, after Mary heard the word, she immediately stood up in the fear of God and ran. She didn't run with excitement, though. Because who will hear that kind of thing that will scatter my life? People will see me now and they will say, I had a child out of wedlock. Rather, she ran to Elizabeth. But she ran with an act of worship. Amen. Amen. The Bible says when the Magi, right? Is it Magi or Magi? The Magi. The Bible says when they saw the star, they were excited. But when they saw the star, they bowed down in worship. Is it okay? Good. This means, if we have not learned how to steward prophecy unto worship, removing excitement from it, we continue to expose stars that should be concealed. So you say amazing things about people and from with joy. You know what I saw about you yesterday night? Oga, are you not discerning? Are you not discerning? There are certain presence. The person that wants to ensure that they will not emerge is their mother. And you know that this boy is mommy's boy. Whatever will tell his mother will hear. He sees that same stupid boy. You want to tell that I saw in the spirit, you have the destiny of a governor. I see you rule as a governor. I saw it clearly in the spirit. And then the guy went to tell his mom! I met a prophet today. This guy, he doesn't see wrong. He's my close friend. And the mom said, wow, governor, amazing. And the mom went to the covenant and said, I heard something about the child. He said, you can't become that governor. It's not possible. Let's trade this. I was talking to someone, and then the person said, he was in a situation where, you know, he saw something where somebody, there is this child and there is this child, and then this child has a glory, a glorious future that has been foreseen, and this one, nothing has been seen about him. So this person is the mother of this one. So this one, the mother was not in the picture. So this person that is the mother of this one began to say, began to rub the hand over the head of the son and say, I transfer your glory to this one. I transfer, real life situation. Let me tell you this. The fact that Esau's birthright to be traded means that anything can be traded. And you know, recently the Lord told me, the Lord said, son, I said, sir. He said, how much is porridge? I said, maybe like 2K. The Lord said, trading birthright is as simple as receiving 2,000 naira from the wrong person. 2K, bro, Sam. 2K. Yes, that was what the Lord told me. He said, somebody can trade his birthright for 2K. You receive his 2K from an altar of trade. That 2K is not coming from his pocket, it's coming from the market square. The first money you receive in your account, what you're supposed to do is to immediately transfer it. I had an experience, I can share it with us because God has given me victory. Right? So, I had an experience where an area of my life was attacked. And then later the Lord showed me the person that the attack is coming from. And the person cost me. And after cutting, the person sent me money. And the attack was on me for like 3-4 years. I became aware of the attack, and it was the attack. Spiritual things, bro. James. Elias, fever man. So when Lord revealed to me the attack, I said, ah. Oh, so now you. Now, wow. Barry David in a hassle. Sembre Tali. So you know what I did? I took the exact amount the person gave me and I called it redemption seed. And I sent it to my spiritual father. And I reversed. The Lord showed me the words of the attack and I found the scripture. And I reversed the words of the curses and the attack that was against me. But bro, the attack worked. Hallelujah. But you know, when the person sent me the money, I was excited. I said, oh, thank you so much. God bless you. May you not receive money from your enemy. May you not receive money that will choke you. You should be discerning, brethren. It's not every money that is yours. The second money as it enters, you can be broke when the money enters. If you find something in your spirit, wire the money to a higher authority. I'm teaching you spiritual warfare intelligence. Wire the money should not spend 24 hours in your, wire it to a higher authority. You know what I found out? I found out that spiritual warfare are battles of altars. Is this clear? So what I just did is I took the warfare from my altar to a higher altar that has more energy to reduce that altar to nonsense and to nothing. That's what I did. My transfer. This thing I just said, I've done it more than once. Because I could discern in the faith. I could discern in the faith. Recently again, I received some money. And then when the money came in, I just felt some in my body. I said, This money is trade. It is trade. I could tell in the spirit. Just be men of the spirit. I could tell in the spirit that this money is straight, and I just wired somewhere else to the higher altar. I said, it's because I was hungry. Certain person should not pay your children's school fees. You think it's favor, it's straight. Be discerning. There was a season of my life, this was years ago, where I just noticed that I was broke. I was so broke. And I was like, what's going on? This was in the mission days in Illinois. I began to pray. Oh, no. Thank you, Lucy. I read the story now. It's not that I was broke. They were stealing things from me.
They were stealing things from me. They were saying, like, in a short period, they broke into my house and stole like three different times. And it's only my house they used to steal from me, all the compounds. So I began to pray about it, like, Lord, what's this nonsense? This raw beast house and stuff. So I spoke to a prophet friend. The prophet said, as I was praying, I saw a black hole in your pocket. You received a gift that you should not have received. Somebody gave you some money that you should not have taken. So is that money that you received into your pocket that gave the enemy access to put a hole in your pocket so that things don't stay? I just bought a phone. I used the phone for maybe 2 weeks. And the phone was stolen. Hallelujah. That phone that I worked for. Amen. Really, I worked for that phone. Because I went to do a work with a friend. The work lasted maybe 3 weeks or so. We did a training, you know. And then the profits that I got, I went to buy a phone because I didn't have a good phone. They stole the phone in 2 weeks. I wanted to curse the person. But the man of God in me, the man of God in me could not curse the person. But I had to find the root. And I found the root is that I received a bad gift. You know what Elisha said to Gehazi? Is this the time to take gift? The leprosy that is on his household will now rest upon you. Like pray, like pray. Gehazi became leprous. Let me tell you, there are certain persons you will agree with prayer about in spiritual warfare that they will bring you seed. Don't collect it. Say, God bless you. Is this okay? Don't collect it. Don't collect the offering. It's the wages. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Spiritual warfare intelligence. Like I said, it's what we don't know that the enemy is against us. I pray for you that the enemy will not succeed in trading what God has given you for a generation. May the Lord clothe you with discernment. The spirit of discernment. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm very sure that I'm using very prophetic examples. If somebody says, I'm coming to your house, come and greet you, and your spirit doesn't want them to come to your house, don't say, I'm a pastor. Don't be a stupid, undiscerning pastor. And open your house to people that can bring strange spirits into you. You see, let me tell you the truth, Bob. True, you're a pastor, but that you're a pastor does not mean you have enough spiritual energy to wait on certain things. That same person may go to another pastor's house, but there is enough angels spoken. You can try and say, there is enough energy from the altar of that household that can wait up, so nothing. Hallelujah. One day around 3 a.m. I was in the office, and suddenly I was in the desert, and I saw somebody roaming about in the house of one of us. Like, I saw his feet roaming. And I'm like, oh, what goes there? See, be careful what you allow into your house and who you allow into your house. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't say, the pastor said we should walk in love. Let your love be exercised from discernment. Hallelujah. Because there are certain persons, the day they enter somebody's house, everything begins to go down. Let me tell you, I was watching a clip, and the person said, there are certain persons, they're like Jonah. If you have them in your ship, no matter what the ship is going down. And the certain persons are like Joseph. If you have them in your ship, no matter, even if the ship was going off, when Joseph comes in, the thing begins to. Me, I have an anointing. I change Jonah to Joseph. I have an anointing that transformed Jonah into
So you have a JJ, thank you. You have a JJ or Kota anointing. I'm just kidding. So you have a JJ. No, no, no. I saw a scripture in the book of Timothy. He said, let me end with that scripture. Barrio Fitalahalo. Mandre Fiata. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? I've found many believers going to warfare on their own charge. Spiritual warfare in churches includes what else you should take on and what you should not take on. There are certain things that don't concern you. Don't say, I have prayer fire. Me, I am anointed to pull down altars. Certain altars are not your business. They are not your business. Is this okay? Let me tell you this. You don't have authority to cast out every devil. Should I say that again? You don't have authority to cast out what? Every devil. The reason is this. Certain persons will not give you the authority to cast out their devil. They want to keep their devil. They want to keep their devil. They want to keep their demon. So you will be trespassing to try to forcefully deliver somebody who loves our affliction. So this person has a spirit of witchcraft. He wants to cast out the spirit of witchcraft. No, you'll be causing trouble for yourself. Paul tried it. They drove him out of the city. His ministry in the city ended by that action. But Paul did it now. Yes, what was the end? He was driven out of the city. Hallelujah. So be careful not to call for warfare over your life because of the small anointing. When they try to gather, hallelujah, that's a joke. Because no anointing is small, because the anointing is the Holy Ghost. But because of the little result you are seeing that's entering your head, I can go to anybody's house and deliver anybody. I'm a demon buster. You will soon be busted. Oga Lopa. You will soon be busted. The Bible says, who goeth to warfare at his own charge? His charge there means instruction, that means backing. So it means, what evil sends you on warfare, evil backs you up. Hallelujah. Then two, it's by heaven's dictate. And when it's heaven's dictate, do you know what heaven is saying? The battle is the Lord. The battle is the Lord. So all I have to do is pray and stay in alignment. But the battle is the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. All the time. If the Lord sends you people who are under your watch, their battle is your battle. Where do you want to go? Don't send them to another pastor. Is this clear? You're under your watch now. Imagine you have a spiritual son and say, I'm going through hell. And then when you said the top of his hell, it was so red. And I say, I don't want to be identified with this color of hell I've had. May my God help you. My God will send you help from Zion. The Lord will deliver you. Even though you know what you are supposed to do to help the person come into victory, you need to get involved from authority. Is this clear? But you are scared. No. You have every authority to mess those devils up because this is a sheep under your watch. It is on you to go after the lions and the bears. And you are anointed for that. Let me tell you, David was not going after every lion and bear in the city. He had the anointing and the oil to go after the lions and the bear that came for the sheep under his watch.
So your lion killing anointing and bear killing anointing has address.
Yes, now
it has address. Yes, there are boundaries for spiritual. There is nobody on earth that God has given limitless spiritual authority. Nobody.
Only Christ, because the Bible says upon him, John chapter 3 verse 34, God has given to him the spirit without measure.
So the flows of life through Christ is measureless. Only him stewards limitless authority.
But even with that, the Bible says that certain places where the honor was not much, so they didn't see many miracles.
You could say, God, either you want miracles or not. I am a bringer of avalanche of miracles. He couldn't do that there.
Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? We all are ordained to be watchmen of the gates of our hearts, because that's where the warfare begins. The anointing of the watchman is useless if there is no warfare. But the warfare begins at the gate of our heart. If you can watch the gate of your heart, God can trust you to watch cities. Should I say that again? If you can watch the gate of your heart, God can trust you to watch cities. You know what the Bible says? He that cannot discipline his spirit is like a city with broken walls. So in other words, he that cannot watch the gate of his own life, the Bible calls you a city with broken walls, an exposed city. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is good. Then it is part of spiritual warfare intelligence that you don't tag everything uncomfortable to the devil. Some uncomfortable things are results of personal foolishness, results of disobedience. Or you don't even have to bind any devil. Just return and repent, and everything will be okay. Once they threw Jonah into the ship was calm. Is this clear? Just turn, repent, do the right thing, and things will fall into place. The Lord is good all the time. Father, we thank you for this evening. We give you glory, we give you honor. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can you thank the Lord for what you have received?